Well, good morning, everyone. Okay, thank you again, my brothers and sisters, for joining together to worship the Lord. One of the reasons I decided to have the outdoor service is because of the theme of the message that I'm doing this morning. And people were asking, should we cancel it because there's a chance of rain at 1 o'clock? I'm just telling you, because if it rains, I'm not going to tell the people in the outdoors, you know. But one of the reasons is the theme of the sermon. This title is Live by Faith. Okay. Live by Faith. And if you could release that, you know, in your house, I'm going to live by faith. Say that. I'm going to live by faith, you know. And the promise, God promised us the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8. This is for all believers. And God says that in Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And Jeremiah 29, you know, we talked about it last week. The plan of God in the midst of difficulty is to give us hope and a future. He wants to give us hope and a future. And God has such a great picture of the church. God has such a great picture of his disciple that he says, we're going to go into all nations and make disciple of all nations. And, you know, in Exodus chapter 3, we see this is what God promised the people, his people that was in Egypt in bondage, right? And this is what he says. I have taken a good long look at the affliction of my people. Right? I have heard their cries. I know all about their pain, and I have come down to help them. You know, this is what God says in the midst of the bondage that his people were going through. He wants to set his people free from slavery, and he says he wants to lead them into this promised land. Lead them to a land where they will conquer. You know, they will be victorious. But what happens is in Numbers 14, when they saw the promised land, people of God saw the promised land, that they forgot Exodus 3 promise that God gave to them, you know. What they did, you know, they didn't live by faith, but instead what they saw in the promised land were giants or stronghold. And when they saw themselves, they were grasshoppers, they said. Now, what is faith? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is assurance of what we do not see. Okay, there's this assurance of what we do not see. Now, it's not about making things up, okay? That's not what it's talking about when we say what we do not see. It's not about positive thinking. Faith is not getting everything you want, you know? Oh, you know, I don't have it. I don't see it. I want a Mercedes, but it's faith that if I picture it, I'm going to get it. That's not what it's talking about, okay? Getting what you desire. Faith is not what you want to see, okay? Faith is a decision that you make not to see from human perspective, not to see from selfish perspective or fearful perspective, but choosing, making a decision to see from God's perspective. Okay? God's perspective. Faith is seen through God's word, God's promise, God's truth, and his character. You know, God's people in Numbers 14, saw giants, they saw strongholds, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Okay, so, but faith is not denying, okay, you know, they see the giant, it was real, okay, it was there. They saw the stronghold, right, and the fear in their heart was real, okay. So faith is not denying the giant, it's not denying the stronghold. You know, again, the enemy were real. The enemies were strong, right? That was the truth. And the fear was real. The fear was strong. They saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to the giants. But if they responded to Hebrews 11, verse 1, okay, that they would have seen, not if they, yes, they saw the giant, but they would faith is seeing what they could not see. What they were supposed to see was Exodus 3, God's word, God's promise for them. God told them, I see your affliction. Okay, they see the giant, but they were supposed to hear God telling them, I see your affliction. I know your pain. I hear your cry. I have come down to help you. I will set you free. I will lead you. I will give you victory in this new land. And God told them again and again, I will give you victory. I will give you this land. So in the midst of seeing the giant and the stronghold, faith is believing what God told them. I will give you victory when you go into this land. But in Numbers 14, they chose not to live by faith. They chose fear instead. And what happened? That first generation that came out of Egypt, they were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. They were stuck. So, you know, we might go, God, you know, and we're, you know, because you feel you're so stuck. And it might not be God. It might be because without knowing, we are choosing not to live by faith. Right? See, Caleb and Joshua, and, you know, at that time, Numbers 14, they were the only two that came out of Egypt that made it into the promised land. The only two after 40 years. They didn't deny the giant. They didn't deny the stronghold. You know, they didn't deny the fear that was in their heart. They didn't pretend that they weren't there. Caleb and Joshua saw what others saw. Okay, they saw that. But they had this assurance, what others could not see, what they could not see. What they said is, the Lord is with us. Okay? The Lord will give us victory. They told him, don't be afraid of them. Their protection is gone. We will devour them. They chose to believe in something that they could not see based on the promise of God. God told them, I will give you victory. So they decided to live by faith. They told God's people, we will devour them if you go into the promised land. Do not be afraid. You know, in our church, we do inner healing ministry. And when I look back at my, you know, back to many years, I've been to many inner healing ministries, conference. You know, I was, you know, talked to counselors and, you know, many different teachings. And in the inner healing ministry, when you go into that ministry, you will learn about God's truth, about God's revelation, about your identity that you have in Jesus Christ. But real healing and freedom doesn't happen in the ministry. It really depends, I see, as, you know, you could go to those ministry, you could go to the renewal ministry. It depends on when you go back home, are you going to live in faith or not? Okay? See, because this is what's going to happen. When people go home from the renewal ministry, when people go home from the inner healing ministry, when you go home, the old rejection will come to your mind. You'll feel the old shame. The old lies is going to hit you. And at that moment, you have a choice. Agree with the old lies, or you live by faith. The truth that you learn, applying it, walking it out. And when you walk it out, okay, there will be healing. When you agree with the old lies, what happens is you get stuck. There might be even greater brokenness and bitterness and bondage. But when you choose to live by faith, and you know, anybody could say they have faith during the conference. No, God is asking you to live in faith, live by faith. And that happens when you're home, when you're home. You know, when you choose to live in faith, you know, to God's word, his truth and revelation, there is healing and freedom. The old rejection loses power and God's unconditional love becomes more powerful in your life. Bitterness loses power and God's forgiveness and freedom becomes more powerful in your life. The old life loses its power and the new life in Christ has more power in your life. And you can grab hold of that by living by faith. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 11 says, this is Sarah, example of Sarah. By faith, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Right? You know, when you look at the Bible, in the beginning, it was hard for her to live by faith because when God gave her the promise, you know what she did? She laughed. Ah, impossible. You know, that's what the Bible says. But Hebrews 11 shows she started to make the right choices to live. She made the choice to live by faith. And Hebrews 11 is talking about, you know, that Sarah became a woman of faith. It doesn't just happen overnight. It is not like overnight, okay, now I have faith. No, even Sarah had to walk it out. Okay, it had to walk it out. And she eventually became a woman of faith. You know, she was past childbearing age and God promised her a child. But this was not just a, you know, normal, you know, birth. It's what God promised, from this line, the Messiah would come. It wasn't just a promise of a child, but that God was going to work out his redemptive plan through this family. What was God going to do? God was saying, I'm going to bless the whole nation because of this family. Okay. And the circumstances and in her own mind couldn't comprehend this with her human understanding. Circumstances said that it was too late, that God was going to redeem the world through her and her future generation. It was sounded so crazy and so unimaginable. But Sarah was commended in Hebrews 11 because she had assurance of what she could not see. Sarah chose to live by faith. My brothers and sisters, the circumstances right now, you know, there is a pandemic, racial tension, division in the nation. You're going through personal difficulty. I am challenging you and challenging, I am also challenging myself to live by faith. Have assurance of what you do not see. We have a choice. Live a life that lacks faith or a life by faith. We could live for the temporal or we could live for the eternal. We can take life or we can give life. We can hurt other people around us or we can heal the people around us. We can destroy or we can build up. It's a choice that we have. I'm asking you to choose to live by faith. There are things you cannot believe, you know. Bible says God is so great, we cannot even imagine how great he is, how powerful he is. You know, we with our human mind can't see it. Living by faith is assurance of what we do not see. Believe there is this, no limit to his love, no limit to eternity. You know, when we think about heaven, we try to think with our human mind, you know. And what Paul says, when he got a glimpse of heaven, he couldn't even speak it. There was no words to describe it. Okay? He can't describe it. How much God could change you, there's no limit. We don't have any limitation to our, let's not have any limitation to our belief when it comes to God. Don't have any limitation to our belief when it comes to his love for us. Eternity, how much he wants to work in us, change us, and transform us. A lot of time we believe how we are stuck. We believe how we will never change. We believe how our brokenness will never be healed. We believe how our addiction and bondage will always have power over us. Let's look at the prodigal son, the son who wasted his father's fortune. He spends all his money on prostitutes. The son repents and turned back to his father. This is what the son could not believe when he was coming back home. He went back to his father, believing only one thing, believing that the best he could dream was to be one of the higher servant in his father's home. The son couldn't believe the father was waiting for him every day. The son couldn't believe the father would run to him. The son couldn't believe the father would hug him and kiss him. The son couldn't believe the father didn't even mention how he wasted all the money on sinful living. The son couldn't believe the father put the best robe on him, a ring on his finger, a sandal on his feet, and killed a fattened calf and had a big celebration. The good news is this. We can believe. We can live by faith. It is the truth. We could believe, have assurance of what we cannot see. During this season, it is difficult to live by faith. It is. It is easier to believe in fear, lies, past mistakes, shame, rejection, and brokenness. It is easier during this difficult season to feel sorry for ourselves, to blame, to complain, to become disillusioned, to become hopeless. During this season, each day the demonic accuses us. Each day the demonic lies and puts doubt in our heart and condemns us. Even as adult, I'm 56, and still, my childhood issues of childhood brokenness get stirred up. There's family dysfunctions. And during this season, we see the giants, we see stronghold, we see our own weaknesses. I'm not asking you to deny them or to run away from them or medicate it with drugs, but I am asking you. And challenging the church and challenging myself. Let's live by faith. You might identify with the prodigal son. If you do, live by faith. Your heavenly Father forgives you, wants to restore you, wants to redeem, wants to receive you. You might have been abandoned, but that doesn't define you if you live by faith. You might be rejected, but if you live by faith, God calls you to be son and daughters. You might be filled with hatred and bitterness, but if you live by faith, God gives you a new heart. Again, I'm not asking you to deny the giants, the stronghold, and the condemnation and shame that's in your heart. Yes, there are giants, stronghold, and condemnation. Yes, we don't have all the answer. Yes, we live in a broken world. Yes, life is hard. It's not easy. It's extremely hard. But don't stop there. Don't get stuck there. Don't let that be your life sentence. I'm challenging you to go a little further. Live by faith. The promise God gave his people in the wilderness, God says to you, receive this. Believe this. Put your trust in this. God says to you, I see your affliction. I know all your pain. I hear your cries for deliverance. I have come to help you. I have come to set you free. I will lead you. I will give you victory in this land. So, Catalyst, let's put our faith in a great, loving God, God who only speaks truth, God who loves us unconditionally, God who paid the penalty for our sin, God who forgives and redeems, a God who gives us new life, God who has a great purpose and a destiny for each one of us. And God's people said, amen. Okay, let's go ahead.